Okay, go ahead. Let's take this from the top and start us out.
I'm starting us
Yes,
out.
guy, what go?
Okay, so welcome back to What's Your Safe Word? This is my third podcast, although apparently we've done many more.
Not many more, but we've done a f we've had a few guests, which you've listened to. You can't be that surprised that we've done more than three podcasts.
No, I only think about them when I do them.
Wow.
Well, that's yeah, I have a very limited memory, so that's
What did you have for breakfast this morning?
God, what did I have for breakfast this
No,
morning?
that was the question.
Oh, I had avocado toast with poached egg.
So fancy.
It was very fancy,
Anyway,
actually.
welcome back to What's Your Safe Word, the sex education podcast that's got a few kinks. Daddy, what is your safe word today?
What is my safe word
No,
today?
come on.
Well, you
Come
can't
on.
just like say
Go.
snap and
No,
then
go. What is the question on the tape? What is your safe word?
decadence.
Oh, roll the opening. Welcome back once again. One of these days you'll get the safe word right away.
I did.
No, and maybe if you did, if I edited out the all
I
of the
totally
silence.
did it.
No,
It was a
no,
good
no.
one too.
No, no, no. Oh, really?
Yeah,
I'll explain this
because
one.
we were just at Southern Decadence.
And how was that?
It was fun. I love New Orleans.
What do you love about New Orleans?
I like the food for one. But I like
What's your favorite food?
I like the gumbo and creole and all the shrimps.
Why?
You like the chicken fingers.
No, what? No, I like the red beans and rice.
No, you made me. Oh, I like the red beans and rice too. But you made me go to that chicken finger place, which was, it tasted like Popeyes.
Yes, that was it. It was good. But why were we in Southern Decadence? And what is Southern Decadence for people that don't know?
So Southern Decadence is always, I think, Labor Day weekend in New Orleans. And it's a big gay party that all the bars participate in, and there's a parade, kind of a gay pride parade. Is it gay pride?
It's a gay Mardi Gras, pretty
Yeah,
much.
like a Mardi Gras parade that everyone goes to, and it's fun.
Yeah, and the weather was decent. It was a little overcasty, but it wasn't too hot. I like Southern
It was a little
Decadence,
humid.
but yeah, it's the one thing I don't like is that you always feel like you're moist.
That's such a good word,
No, I
moist.
hate that word. It's my I hate that that's why I'm using it, because I don't like that feeling of constantly being wet.
Yeah, well, hopefully you're not constantly wet.
Only when you're around.
Oh my.
Just constantly wet. Anyway, you probably didn't notice, but I was just asking you nonstop questions there for a few minutes, and you just kept answering them. Today's episode, we are. What do you think we're doing?
Like I prepare for these things.
Well, no, you didn't. Well, no, but what do you think we're doing? If I was asking.
You're probably asking me rapid fire questions.
When were you born? What's your favorite holiday? What's your favorite color? You're not doing a very good job of these rapid fire questions.
It took me a second to think of when I was born.
That's not a good thing. Do you know when you were born?
Yes,
January 3rd?
69.
Yeah, well, yes, but
Yeah.
you weren't just born on a year. You were born on a day.
The whole year. My mother gave birth for a full
Do you
year.
say dates with the year first and then the date?
It's very European,
I
yes.
know, but you're not European.
Oh wait, Europeans do the day first and then the month.
You don't even know how dates work. Daddy, if you're
I'm not looking
American,
good in
if you're
this.
American in the living room, what are you in the bathroom?
If you're what? American in the living room, what are you in the bathroom? European.
Oh, thank God you got
I
that.
figured
I only, oh my God.
that
Anyway, today's episode is a special Patreon only, not Patreon exclusive. This will go out to the public eventually. But it is a Patreon only Q&A.
Yay, I
So,
love our Patreons.
me too. Who's your favorite patron?
We have favorites. I like them all equally.
Oh, good answer. Good answer. I was testing you. I was testing you for this Q&A because there's lots of... There's some pretty interesting questions in this Q&A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Can't wait. Well, you don't have to because we're doing the questions right now. But first, before we get into the questions, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts this week because I like podcasts, mm-hmm. as do you, mm-hmm. right? Your favorite podcasts are?
Swishcraft.
Oh, you got a new podcast.
I know.
Oh.
I like it.
Usually all you have is Dan Savage.
Well, Swishcraft is music.
Oh, I don't know. Does that
magically
count?
Magically gay dance music.
Okay, it's well, so good. I'll allow it. But I was listening to a lot of podcasts and noticing more and more that all these podcasts have like segments, you know, like the
news.
Yeah, well, like news. So sometimes we'll talk about the news, and not really. There's not really a lot that's happened this last week in the news cycle that I can recall off the top of my head. But within these podcasts, there's always segments like, you know, reading reviews or, so like if you want to leave an iTunes review for this podcast, which is eventually on iTunes, you can leave like, if you leave, let's say we'll read like 5-star reviews and we want you to put like some sort of funny stories in there and we'll read your stories. Like that could be a thing, just for instance. But only if they're 5 stars.
So it's more interactive.
Yeah. Well, that's essentially the reason for like segments in a podcast is to make it interactive so like people enjoy them every week.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So before we get into the Q&A today, let's get you a segment. Ooh, what's your segment going to be, Daddy? We're figuring out your segment right here live.
Daddy doesn't care.
Okay, I already hate part of the part of the segment, but go on. I'm guessing this segment...
This is supposed to be a fully developed... I just have the title. I don't know.
It's not a very good title either. It's got to be catchy. Come on. Like Daddy...
Doesn't.
Daddy doesn't. Okay. Okay.
It could be good. It is all the things that Daddy doesn't do, like drag.
Well... But that, no, not, no, like, maybe like something you don't like.
Like, get off my lawn.
Sure, like, you're getting old and angry Cotchety, about, yeah. Oh, well, your words, not mine. Okay, well, what doesn't Daddy like today?
Today?
Oh yeah. God. This is like your rant segment. You rant about things that you don't like. I feel like this might get problematic in the long run. But go on. I'm open to this segment.
Oh my gosh. Now, so if I'm going to have segments, I'm going to have to prepare for them because you know I'm not very good off the cuff.
I could put you in cuffs, but I don't know how that would help you be better on podcasting.
That would help.
Like handcuffs, leather cuffs, wrist cuffs, fisty cuffs.
Oh, so what today, what annoyed me?
Sure.
Was I was trying to take a right turn and somebody was standing, not on the sidewalk, but
You were in a car. I think you should probably.
I was taking a right turn in a car. And they were literally standing in the crosswalk, in the turn lane, waiting for the light to turn so they could walk. But right now I have a green light.
Oh,
and you're
my
standing
God.
In the curb. I'm going to hit you.
Oh.
And so I gently honked my horn, just like not a, nah. I went to. Beep beep.
Okay. And your car doesn't have multiple horns to it. Just
beep beep. Yeah, no, I tapped it twice. Mm-hmm. Just like a gentle, hey, I'm gonna run over you. Get off the.
No one does just a gentle running over of someone else. But go on.
Like just their toes, maybe.
Yeah.
But that and I hate when women push their baby strollers off the curb a little bit.
Okay. Well, not just women have babies.
Well, no, but I know. But when. Anyone pushes the stroller? Like, why are you putting your child into danger?
That is not
going to stop the car. You're safely on the curb, but your child is in the crosswalk.
I will give you that one. If you have a baby, please don't push them in the street first. Put yourself out there in front of the car. I think that's
anyway,
some good advice.
He like flipped me off.
The baby did?
No. The guy trying to cross the street. I'm like,
well, that's just some bad parenting
sidewalk.
Right there.
I mean,
parents, please make sure that your kids are not flipping off cars because they will get hit. Well, that was a lovely segment that we're still working on.
Daddy
I don't know if I like this segment.
Daddy doesn't like people standing in the street when he's trying to turn.
I don't know that puppy doesn't like this segment. I feel like we need like some dad advice segment or something. We'll work on it. We'll work on it.
Okay. I kind of like this segment now. I'm going to start to think of all my rants.
Okay. But
Daddy
just,
rants.
Just, okay. Sure. We'll work on it. We'll work on it.
Fine.
Leave a comment down below of your favorite segment that you want to see recurring.
And don't stand in the street.
And don't you heard it here.
Or push your child into the street.
Because as daddy always says, what's that saying you always say about crossing the street?
Don't. I don't know. What do I always say about crossing the street?
Dude, you got a yes and.
Yes and?
Never mind. I'm trying. I really am, you guys. Anyway, we have this lovely thing called a Patreon. What is a Patreon, Daddy?
Patreon is where people contribute money to support the show.
Yeah, so it's essentially somewhere that you can donate money monthly to get some extra stuff. So like, for instance, this podcast early, sometimes episodes early, sometimes exclusive episodes, Q&As, blooper reels that only Patreons see, as well as some other perks. We're talking to some of our higher level patrons, our top patrons, quite literally, the tops, and figuring out some topics that they would like to hear on the Patreon podcast. But there's lots of other stuff there. So if you ever want to join the Patreon, it's very easy to do. And this week's episode, this week's podcast, is answering just Patreon questions. So we're going to try and get through most of... There was 39 questions.
Oh my God, are we going to do all 39?
We're going to try. So okay. There will be some questions that we might...
Fire?
No, not rapid.
Okay.
It's not like a rapid test. But it is... Question somewhat rapid.
So if we spend a minute on each question, that's 40 minutes.
And look at the time. We got about 40 minutes left. So,
all right, okay,
no pressure.
Hit me. Let's go. No, puppy.
I just hit him. He asked for it. I can growl
my
too.
Next daddy rants.
Next daddy rants. When people take you literally, yeah. I'll stop taking you literally. I mean,
give me more Chardonnay.
You just said to stop taking you literally. Don't whine about it. That's a whole other podcast.
Sound like Marge from The Simpsons.
Don't.
Oh.
Ooh, then I get all the donuts. Speaking of donuts, that wasn't a really good segue, but the first question today from our Patreons comes from Pup Cloud.
Okay.
You could say, like, something nice to them.
Hi, Pup Cloud.
Right, that's nice. And he asks, I don't know if it's already been asked. It hasn't because this is the first question, Cloud. But he asks, what would you say your favorite convention you've been to or worked at?
I have two. I like MAL and Claw. I like both of them.
And for people that are just listening and don't know what either of those are.
Mid-Atlantic Leather, which is in D.C. in January.
That's MAL.
MAL. And Claw is in Cleveland in April.
Which stands for?
I never. Cleveland Leather Association
Alliance Weekend.
Yeah.
And why are they your favorite? Real quick.
I like Claw because of the classes, and I like MAL because of the venue. The venue is like this big open lobby where everyone dresses in leather, and it's great socialization. It's very fun.
Okay. Good answer.
As a leather guy, I like those.
Yeah.
And Claw, they have a smoking, like a cigar smoking deck.
That's what you like.
So I love that. That's amazing.
Cute. The next question. I don't have a better answer.
And the third one I like,
not rapid
and it's happening this weekend, is Folsom Europe, which I haven't been to in 2 years. So we need to get back to that.
I don't know if I don't know if that counts as a convention, though. It's more of a street fair, wouldn't you say?
It's an event.
Next question comes from Kira, and Kira asks, as someone who's going to teach sex ed in school, I want to know how to make it better. What are some points that get overlooked a lot but should definitely be taught? Oh, this is a long question. And do you think kink is something that should be addressed explicitly, or would you have been happy just with a mention that people can be into kinks and that's totally okay?
Well, did she say the grade level?
No.
Okay, so I think in high school, basic sex education is good. I don't know if going into kinks in the high school level is that beneficial. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think that high schoolers, we know that high schoolers are already watching porn and seeing porn. So demystifying at least certain aspects of what they're being taught in sex and health, I think is important. And a lot of people come across kink. Like, I came across kink in high school, kink porn. And yeah, so
maybe touch on fetishes, but
I don't think you need to draw it all out, but being at least open about, like, oh, this is what BDSM stands for. And also, kink has a lot to it that I think is important. Kinksters talk about consent and communication way better than the quote-unquote vanilla sex havers out there. I think that, at least statistically as well, we see that kink relationships offer lots of really great talking points and kind of dive into sex in a different way.
So it's been 40 years since I've been in a school teaching sex education, so I don't even know what they teach now. But
not a lot.
Back in my day, they were primarily focused on STDs and
which we now call STIs for the most part.
And the clinical holes.
Don't talk about my hole like that.
And that kind of stuff. And condoms and protective sex.
And they still kind of talk about that, but they focus on just that.
Yeah.
And so I wish they talked more about pleasure, about consent, about, you know, that sex should be fun and it's not just procreative, and how to do that in a safely, safe, yeah, which they yeah. totally overlook.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they totally overlook it because they do push the condom max. Well, do they? I guess Catholic schools don't.
I can speak for myself at the very least, having gone to school more recently. I learned how to put a condom on a banana and that was about it. And that was in public school. Like, I went to Catholic school K-8, but then went to high school, and it was not much better, if not worse, quite honestly. Next question.
I don't know if we answered her question.
No, we totally did. Okay, we gave our perspective.
Good.
Next question from Travis says, what have been, and just to preface this, we've done porn to this day. Some people still don't know that we've done porn, even though we have vlogs where we're going to shoot. Anyway,
is
we've
this
done
the
porn.
Question?
No, I'm prefacing it. So that people know that we have done porn and it doesn't just seem like out of nowhere. The question from Travis says, what's been your favorite porn scenes to film? Also, who's your favorite scene partner?
In front of or behind the camera?
Didn't ask.
Oh, okay. Because I direct and...
You do.
And in front. So favorite type of scene to...
Favorite porn scene to film?
Well, I like bondage personally, so I enjoy bondage in my porn scenes. But
and who's been your favorite scene partner?
Dirk Kaber. I love Dirk Kaber. What? I mean, Tyler Rush. Tyler Rush is amazing. Wow, I failed that one miserably.
My favorite scenes will probably have to be the kind of the power play exchangey sort of bondagey stuff. I really like having people tied up and just playing with them.
And your favorite scene partner was?
You know, just this guy named Christopher Weston, but I didn't need to be like coached to
honest.
Answer that.
Who's
that way.
Been your favorite?
Anyway, next question from Lulu says, what would you say your least accepted kink that you're into is?
Accepted kink that I'm into?
So something that might be a little bit more taboo that you're into. Which I think is an interesting question. And no pressure, you don't have to answer these questions
probably
if you don't feel
like
comfortable.
Humiliation play.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So where you're being humiliated.
Where I'm being humiliated, like eating out of a dog dish or something.
Okay. Well, I've seen that before.
No, I know you have, but that's probably the most taboo.
Why do you consider that the most, or the least accepted kink in this regard? Because you're supposed to be a top and that's it?
Maybe.
Hmm.
And I think people think it's weird.
Okay. I would have to say my least accepted, it would have to be between like animal role play and daddies. Just from like the outward.
Why would daddies be least accepted?
Well,
daddies are big right now.
They're big, but there's a lot of controversy around like intergenerational relationships. People think that, like, I'm being taken advantage of by you, or that, like, you're too old for me, or I'm too... No, you're not, though. No, what I'm saying is, from outward perspective...
I'm taking all this money.
If only you. No, no. No, I mean, but what I
What's
mean...
What's ironic is your own parents don't have a problem with it.
I'm strictly speaking from the perspectives of people online. Sure. Think that because we're so different in age, that our relationship's
If we're talking about online people, what we get the most flack about is doing sex acts publicly. Like
on, within controlled spaces, though,
on
where
Twitter
you,
today we got called out for doing a flogging demo in front of
in
the
front
protesters.
Of the bar at the Southern Decadence. Yeah. We were doing a flogging demo to pretty much drone out all of these hateful religious people with signs saying we were all going to hell.
Right.
So we figured we might as well just give them a little like viewpoint Taste. Of hell. and the funniest part. Was the only comment that was negative in this thread was someone whose name was Big Ass Boy or something. That was their username, and their header and icon was literally their butt, but just covered up by their foot. Like their foot was in the way of their asshole in this picture. And my response to them was like, how do you even have the audacity to call us out for being like too sexual or being too... You know,
I think they said put your kink away or something.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're assholes hanging out on Twitter, which I'm not against. I'm all about sex positivity, but don't come for me when I'm being sex positive and your assholes hanging out on your header or
your
something.
Own, yeah.
I just, oh, that was
that was hilarious.
That made me giggle.
Yeah.
And then people were like quote tweeting. And then the guy, of course, and have a backbone if you're going to come for someone on the internet, immediately blocked me after I called him out for having his asshole.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because I commented, and then all of our friends and people that follow us were, like, dragging them through the mud.
Yeah.
Anyway, next question.
Okay. Sorry. Are we doing this in a time?
Yeah, we're doing fine.
Okay.
This should be fun. And if we don't get to these questions, you know, we'll do other episodes.
Part two.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Lance asks, what is the strangest thing you've ever used as a sex toy or in a scene?
Strangest thing?
Strangest thing.
As a sex toy.
Yeah.
So I use Bengay a lot, and people think that's weird.
That is strange. That is different.
But it does cause a sensation. Toy. Oh, my basketball.
No follow-up questions. Let's see. The strangest thing I've ever used? I feel like I use lots of normal things. I used a spatula once.
Ooh, where'd you use that?
No follow-up questions.
Wait, why no follow-up questions?
Oh, because we could have an episode about, like, pervertibles and whatnot. Okay. That should be an... If you want to see that episode, leave a comment down below on this podcast that you can't comment on. We'll work that out. Good sneeze.
Sorry.
Okay, this question comes from T. During Stefan's podcast, which you probably didn't listen to because it wasn't about you...
Wow.
What? You said that at the beginning.
Jeez.
You briefly mentioned working at kink.com and debunking myths about porn. Apparently, this is just going to be a porn cast. What's something that you were shocked to learn was a lie and that you learned the truth about, if anything? So, like, what about porn can you demystify that is shocking?
How long it takes.
Oh, there you go. So, for instance, let's break it down.
You see a 20-minute scene that took 5 to 6 hours to shoot.
Yeah, from lighting to setting up cameras to taking photos.
And how very unerotic it is to shoot these things.
Yeah, it's not always sexy.
No.
And you're not always working with someone who's actually into you. You don't always get to choose your co-stars. I think that's kind of the most surprising or shocking thing.
Yeah.
You know, because it is a job. Sex work is work.
Yeah.
And people think that it's some glamorous thing that you're always having fun and fucking, but it's really, I mean, it can be fun and glamorous, but you still have to treat it like a job and you're going to work with assholes, both physically and literally, literally, metaphorically.
And physically.
Well, both.
Yeah.
Any other myths? I feel like we should have a porn myths podcast.
The biggest myth is there's a fluffer on set.
Oh, God. Oh, no, yeah, no.
Everyone's like, can I be the fluffer?
And yeah.
Like, no, that's not a paid position.
No.
That anyone does.
And it doesn't exist because everyone has their fluffer in their pocket.
Yeah.
Everyone,
iPhone.
Whenever there's someone that needs to get their boner back up, almost always, unless you have good chemistry with who you're working with, people would just pull out their phone. They've got their Spank Bank, like, saved in their tabs on their Internet Explorer. That's probably the most surprising thing.
Yeah.
Next question, though. Let's see, from Tony. If you could go back and give yourself one piece of advice before doing the first ever porn scene. Oh my God, these are all,
they're all porn questions.
What would be your advice?
Oh my God.
My advice actually would be your partner's not going to be into you. Because I remember my first porn scene was with this big old, like, kind of bro-y, somewhat daddy, but he wasn't, like, old enough to be a daddy. But, like, I was really excited. It was my first time. And then he stepped into the corner when he needed to get his boner back up. And, like, I was like, oh, is he not into me? Does he not want to have sex?
No,
I feel inadequate.
Everyone has sex a different way.
Totally.
So, yeah, and have different kinks and fetishes.
Sure,
so
and gets through the shoot differently. Like, he was stoned off his ass.
That's
how he got through it, was he got really stoned.
that's difficult.
No, he was still sexy. But what would be your advice?
to always try to come first. Because if you come last, there's all this pressure on you because you're the last one to come.
See?
And so you get in your head, you're like, I have to come. And then when you think about you have to come, then you don't.
Well, and so what people don't understand.
You worry that the crew is waiting around for you. And
correct.
Da, 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 yeah.
Cum shots, they might be shot simultaneously in a porn, but sometimes those cum shots are hours apart.
And it's the last guy that takes an hour to do it.
And usually the top goes second. So the top, after being a top and doing probably more energy sometimes, not every time, at
he's
the bottom.
Exhausted.
It can be exhausting.
Yeah.
Especially keeping that boner up. It can be hard, quite literally. And
Or not.
to get off in the end. And so I feel bad for tops that don't get off. Like, I get off really easily.
Yes, you do.
I've got an imagination, I've got a great co-star, mm-hmm. and daddy, mm-hmm. who's glaring at me so...
I'm not glaring at
well,
you.
Well, ow.
Jesus.
yeah, that would be my advice, though.
Yeah, mine too.
Liz asks, I'm soon to be a dom with someone for the first time, and when I've done it before, I found it hard not to laugh. Any advice?
Yeah, don't laugh.
No, that's not fair.
No, laughing breaks. So if you're going to be the dom,
mm-hmm.
you're supposed to be, a dom is supposed to be tough and in control.
Mm-hmm.
You can laugh. Oh, this is a hard question because I do.
No, go on. Dig your hole.
No, I do.
I'm about to pull you out of it.
I laugh all the time.
You laugh all the time.
Yeah, but do it in a really maniacal, sinister
way. There you go. That's
how
that was
you
gonna
laugh.
Be correct.
Don't like just go
or do that, but be like real psychotic about
like,
it. Like have them by the balls, like grab their balls and like start laughing like the Joker. Yeah, that's terrifying. I know plenty of dominatrixes that like if laughter happens, blindfold the person so they don't know what you're laughing at. Like
are your
take
best
away some
friend.
Of their senses so that when you laugh, they don't know what the fuck you're laughing about.
Yeah.
And then whisper in their ear or laugh in their ear and just like, you're pathetic. And then like laugh at them, you know, like play with it.
Yeah.
Right, daddy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna laugh at you so hard. But also some people are into laughter. Some people are into laughing kinks. So, you know, find someone that will appreciate your laughter.
Find the right groove of your laughter.
And don't laugh with them. Laugh at them.
Exactly.
Degrade them. Next question.
Wow. Puppy's getting into this.
Susie asks, what's a kink you haven't tried yet, but you're curious about? What does it appeal to? See, I feel like we've answered this question a lot, too. I don't know that there's a kink that appeals to me I have not tried.
I don't think there is one for me either.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried them all.
I mean, there's some that, like, physically you couldn't try, I suppose.
I haven't done ABDL, but it doesn't appeal to me.
Well, that's not the question. Yeah, that's not the question. What's one that appeals
that
to you?
I want to do. I don't know.
I'd be really into, like... So I think the one thing that might appeal to me that I can't do is, like... There's some porn out there, like furry porn, for instance. Like, our friend James Newland, Pup Silver, draws a lot of, like, body swapping, like furry kind of stuff that's, like, more, like, transformative. I think that's really interesting, but you can't do that.
Yeah, no, I like his cartoons. I find them very erotic.
And
But
we'll
the
link to his
reality of
stuff.
putting a fur suit on, I don't like putting latex on because I can't breathe in it. So a fur suit is like, ugh, hot and confining.
But what appeals to me there is like different. It's very like you're in a completely different state
Well,
in
you
some
like
way.
cosplay a lot more too,
Well, it's
so
not even
that
a
makes
costume though.
sense.
It's like different features. Like imagining like if I was like a daddy, I think that's kind of hot myself.
You'd be a daddy furry.
No, not a daddy furry, but just like no, but like just having different attributes that you're not generally used to.
Well,
That's kind of hot.
you'll be a daddy someday.
Someday, but then I won't be a
You've already got
like
the goatee.
okay.
You're
Okay,
rocking
stop giving me those eyes.
the
Next question.
goatee now. Puppy daddy.
Mitch asks, what's your favorite activity to de-stress after crazy travel and all the nasty people online? What a topical question.
What is the? I think usually we just like to get stoned and watch a movie.
I just like, yeah, watching a movie, putting on some of my like favorite YouTubers usually kind of helps me zone out. I mean, just watching our shows and getting to relax, quite honestly. That's probably my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, I agree.
You watching any good shows recently?
I'm sorry.
For what?
That's the show.
No, it's
It's
okay. What are you sorry about? What did
hilarious.
you do? You can tell me.
The show is called I'm Sorry.
I
It's
know.
very funny.
And my favorite show currently, actually, I just finished the third season in like two sittings, is The Good Place, season
I
three.
know, you
I
know what?
love
I
it.
watched one
It is
season of it.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That
100%.
means nothing to me.
It means it's good.
I didn't get into it. It's fine. I'm
I
glad
think
you
it's
enjoy
really,
it.
really, really funny, really smartly written. If you're looking for
See, I
something
didn't think it
that's,
was funny. I thought it was clever.
it's super clever.
I didn't think it was
But see,
funny. It didn't make me laugh out loud. I'm sorry makes you laugh
stop
out loud.
apologizing. It's okay. You don't have to like the
Jesus
show,
Christ.
Daddy. It
Jesus.
is the best place, though. It should be
Okay.
called the best
We
place.
have different senses of humor.
I think I'm actually very funny. Thank you very much.
I think you think so too.
How dare you? Next question. I apologize for that one. Let's see. From Samantha. Samantha asks, what's the most challenging part of being in a poly family and how do you overcome it? Oh God, exhales before this answer.
Jesus.
Poly is difficult. Poly
Well,
is difficult.
it's a time management thing too, because you are involved with different people with different needs and different schedules, and sometimes they're not in the same city as you. So it's a time consuming thing that you have to make the time for.
Yeah,
And it's worth it,
and
but
communication. I'm gonna say
lots of
that's the
communicating.
hardest part to a poly family. I mean, that's the hardest part to any relationship for some people is communicating.
It's not hard if you can if you're involved with people who are good at communicating, which you very much are.
Yeah.
I'm probably not as good as you are,
I think that you're good. You're not better than me, but you are
but
very
the
good at
hardest thing I have
communicating.
is time, because just having time for everyone
In time
is,
management. So
yeah.
your advice is time management. Mine's going to be communication. Because even if you don't have time for someone, you can communicate that you don't have time, and hopefully they understand that. Good answer.
We're doing good.
Siri asks,
Siri?
not Siri. Hey Siri,
Siri.
what's your what are you what are you into? Oh no, she's actually answering. Oh God, my phone went off. I just fooled myself. You got pranked by yourself. She asks, would you ever consider doing a porn scene with a disabled actor?
Sure.
Well, Sari, how do you know I haven't? Ooh, there you
Ooh,
go. There's the
there you
real
go.
twist.
Yeah.
Disabilities are not always visible.
There's this Marine with one leg named Mickey Blue Eyes.
Okay.
And he's fucking hot. I
Cool.
would love to do a scene with him.
But you're not doing, but to be clear, you're not doing the scene with him because he's disabled. You're
No.
doing the scene with him because you're attracted to him. And you can be attracted to someone regardless of disabilities.
Yeah, but I think actually the
Disabled people are hot. Andrew Gerza, have you seen his hashtag with that? Speaking of disabilities, If you want to look for a really good podcast around sex, kink, and disabilities, Andrew Gerza has a lovely podcast called Disability After Dark. Sorry, didn't mean to, but just subtle plug.
No, but actually, the disability itself is also kind of appealing to me.
Oh, okay. Like an amputee hot. Fetish?
Yeah.
Which, I would find that okay.
Hot. And especially the way they carry themselves. If
so the confidence around it.
Yes.
Which I think is I think very fair.
Very attractive.
So long as you're not treating someone as the disability, like, so long as that's not the only thing that you find attractive about them, you know what I mean?
No,
not belittling them to that disability.
No, just that.
Which is not what I think you're doing. I'm just saying, like, two people listening. Just that. You need to be respectful.
Overcoming the difficulties of having a disability and
is attractive.
Proud of who you are.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah. I think confidence is incredibly sexy. Yeah. But I do want to say that I have had sex with someone or done a porn scene with someone who has a disability. Invisible disabilities are a thing, so never assume. I feel like we answered that one good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel like I should caveat this episode halfway through the episode. We're not experts, and what we're saying...
we're just talking about ourselves.
We're answering questions that you guys have that all seem to be around porn, but I want to be clear that, like, this is our experiences and our approaches to this, and we don't mean any disrespect by the answers that we're giving. So that is the caveat halfway through the episode. This is... our podcast, and it is definitely off the cuff. Next question comes from Travis, who asks, how do I explain that I'm demisexual to my family, even though I have a high sex drive? AKA, I masturbate to a lot of porn to the point that my family notices. Oh my. Well, maybe...
Wait, what do you mean your family notices?
I don't know what they mean by that.
Like, you're loud when you do it? And they know?
There is no follow-up questions here, Daddy. I'm sorry. First off, don't masturbate with your family in the same room, maybe.
Yeah.
It's going to be my first...
Or do it quieter.
Or do it quieter.
How loud are you?
Stop. Okay, don't ask follow-up questions. how do you explain that you're demisexual to your family, though? I don't know. I guess I've never thought that I would need to explain something like that to my family, because I would definitely consider myself on the demisexual spectrum, in that I'm absolutely more attracted to a person if I find them as an interesting, fully formed person, like their personality, their sense of humor, what they're into. Like, I find that attractive, you know?
So you're going to have to enlighten me now. I don't even know what demisexual
is. Daddy, I've totally gone through this with you. I have totally. So.
Is this one of those newfangled words you guys have come up with?
Yeah, it is a asexuality. It's a person who experiences attraction with, like, a strong emotional connection with someone.
Okay.
So, like.
Isn't that everyone?
Well, not always. Sometimes people are attracted to looks.
Sure.
Sometimes people are attracted because of, like, certain kinks or fetishes.
So what's the definition?
The full definition is going to be something like, it's a person who does not experience sexual attraction unless you can form a strong emotional connection with them. So
I'm kind of that way.
So, like, romantic relationships. I mean, people that are super romantic might be demisexual.
Sure.
So, like, how do you explain that to your family? I mean, phrase it that way.
Why do you have to explain that to your
family? Well, you don't have to, but they're asking. They're asking if they
wouldn't your family want you to be that way?
Would my family want me to be romantically involved with the person I'm into? Sure, but is everyone that way? No.
Yeah, but my confusion lies in why would that be something you have to explain?
You don't have to, but they're just asking us how they could.
Okay.
And so my
I think your parents would be thrilled that you were.
You know
that.
What you could do? You could say, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm listening to this great podcast called What's Your Safe Word? And you should go listen to it because I'm demisexual. Here you go. Thanks. Love you. Bye. And there we go. We just did it for you.
Okay. I learned something new.
What is demisexual, Daddy?
Being into the person you love.
Not quite, but I'll let you. I'm not emotionally invested in your answer, so it's okay.
I'm sorry, not love, having sex with.
No, not even. You can love someone without being
emotionally
sex.
Attached to the person you're having sex with.
Oh my God. Next question.
I'm learning so much.
From Blue Balls.
Oh God,
that's their username. That's not even the question. Wait, just wait for this. I saw one of your previous videos on YouTube where you briefly mentioned men, straight men in gay porn. Wow, this whole podcast is full circle gay porn.
Sure.
Is there a lot of gay for pay in porn? And is there a difference in doing scenes with them than those that are not gay, or than those that are gay? So the question being, is there a difference between straight gay porn performers and gay porn performers?
So this has evolved. So I've been directing porn for 25 years, and this has evolved over time. In the 90s, we used to have straight men who liked the money and had good looks and would do gay porn for the money. And they kind of had this bravado, like, I'm only going to fuck, no one's going to... and get sucked and da, da, da.
Until you get paid to bottom.
And then they kind of, like, mid-2000s, that demographic started to learn that it's a lot of work to top when you're not into fucking men.
And you also get paid better as a bottom, generally.
Sure.
Because bottoms
are... And
they
discovered their prostates. And then it became... Mm-hmm. Then the sexuality became more fluid. And they didn't define themselves as straight or gay. And their girlfriends weren't threatened by them... having sex with men the way they would having sex with women. So it was a win-win for them.
Yeah. And they're making more money too.
And now I don't even ask if anyone's straight or gay anymore. If you're there doing the job, you're there doing the job. And
so long as you're doing it well and you're being respectful. Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's honestly just sex. But also, I will say, as someone who's done porn with both gay and straight performers, the straight ones are definitely the ones that are on their phones a lot more. Because
they
need...
have to look at pussy porn.
Stop. What?
No, that's what turns them on.
That is not what we call it, though. Oh. Jesus. It doesn't mean that they're not nice and fun and easy to work with, but there generally is like a harder connection to make with them. And it's not as sexy for me personally, because I don't feel like they're enjoying it. And I'm definitely someone who, like, you have to...
You're demisexual.
Well, yes, that, and if someone's enjoying themselves, I'm going to enjoy myself a lot more.
Yeah.
No one likes just a dead log.
I get that. But I do like the evolution of them not defining themselves as straight anymore.
Yeah, we're totally supportive of that. Yeah. So long as you're not only taking the dick, but not being a dick... We're allies. We're supportive.
Yeah.
Okay. Zan asks, are there any steps you can take to make a room a little more soundproof if you need to be more quiet? Well, first and foremost, speaking as someone who has a wall of boxes side of my room.
Is this the one who family heard him jacking off?
No, this is not the demisexual person that needs to jerk off less with their family.
So he needs soundproof rolls. You could...
Soundproof your walls. There you go. You're welcome. Just next question.
Curtain or next sound blankets question. Or any fabric will.
Oh, Daddy, this question's for you from Noah.
I was answering the question.
Hey, before. Mr. Christopher, have you been working on the Cigar Play episode you mentioned you were interested in putting together? I'm interested in learning more about cigars and involving them in play. I also think you'd be a great host for that episode.
Yes.
Technically, you did answer the question.
You're welcome.
So
we are gonna do that episode. I'm just looking for the right person to do it with.
No, what do you mean right person? You've done it. You filmed an episode about cigar play.
Well, I filmed going to Smoke Out.
Yeah, which is a cigar convention.
Convention.
So what's gonna happen is Daddy is gonna learn how to edit, and he's gonna do this episode by himself.
Wow.
And no pressure. I mean, all the pressure, but no pressure. And I'm really excited because I get to see your process of editing and how you put together an episode, which I think is going to be super fascinating to watch and just like sit over your shoulder and just like twiddle my thumbs and be like, ha.
This is not going to end well.
No, it's going to be the best ending. You're going to be positive.
Okay.
Are you excited?
So excited.
Okay, next question. Vanessa asks, what did you study in college?
I started out in interior design, but I couldn't draw.
Really?
Yeah.
How did I not know you started out in interior design?
I went to ASU Architecture College, but I was horrible at drawing. So I had great ideas. I just couldn't put them down on paper. So midway through, I switched my major. My dad was in education, and he's like, there's this thing called AutoCAD that's going to replace all the shops and all your...
Oh, I know what AutoCAD is.
All your architecture and art classes would transfer. So I graduated with a degree of industrial technology education and built my own program.
And what did you do with that?
Nothing. I directed porn. So I got into the porn industry and never left. So I'm glad I have a college degree for that.
But you finished college.
I did finish college.
We always want you to finish college. Yes. Finish college. School's important.
School is very important. I never used it, but it's very important.
I mean, you might not have used it, but I went to school for video game design, and I learned not only how to like edit, but how to draw and how to create things and the full Adobe suite. So my degree was super useful. And now you have a podcast because... Artists, and I also actually did know AutoCAD as well, because I did a lot of 3D in Maya. So that was my degree for years. I worked at Microsoft, which was something. And now I create and design fetish clothing and, you know, sexy stuff. So finish your college degree.
Everything you do is design-oriented.
Yeah, it's something artistic and creative. And that's what I want to do, is just have fun and create stuff. Ooh, how about, okay, this one might be a good one for you, too. Pup Fennec asks, any advice for a new handler? I see a lot of new pups, but finding advice for handlers is hard.
Oh, my God, we just talked about doing this episode.
I know.
Yeah. So, actually, that's actually a true statement. Being a handler for the first time for me, I had no idea what that meant.
Okay. So what's your advice?
Oh, wait, what?
What's your advice?
For, yeah. Was advice for finding a handler?
Any advice for a new handler.
For a new handler. Mm-hmm. For a new handler is you really have to tailor it to the pup.
Tailor? Oh, sorry, am I barking up the wrong tree?
Oh, my God. Anyway, because all pups are different, and they all want different things, so you have to... be the right handler for who you're with, truthfully.
Mm-hmm. But, and then they say, who's your favorite puppy? It's totally here in this question. Absolutely. Why are you laughing?
Well, I like a serious pup.
This is your chance to redeem yourself. How dare you? sorry, what'd you say?
Oh, Pup Amp?
Oh.
He's amazing.
He sounds okay.
Yeah. Don't put him in a chicken coop.
Glaring at you so
He's
hard.
So glaring at me. Okay, next question.
Next question. What kind of after? And we already answered aftercare questions. Tam asks, what's your opinion on sugar babies and their declaration that it's not sex work? Huh.
What's a sugar baby?
Well, it's a baby made out of sugar.
Delicious.
No, you don't actually think that's what it is.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know what sugar babies are?
No.
Oh, ooh, there's a topic. You know what sugar daddies are, right?
A daddy with money.
Okay. So do the math. What's a sugar baby?
A baby with money. God damn it. What's a baby?
That is not very good math, daddy. Okay, so if a sugar daddy is on the one side, what's the other side?
A baby with money.
No, the babies don't have money. This is not, there's no babies involved in this.
It's sugar baby. There's literally two words. One of them is baby. What do you mean there's
but
no
it's
baby?
Not, it's
in
not
this?
A literal baby. I'm saying that if the sugar daddy is like the top in the situation, the bottom is going to be the person that gets one? The sugar baby. No.
Oh, they're the ones who spin
Yes.
Oh, sugar baby is. Oh, so they don't
the light
have
bulb,
their,
the light bulb is now
they don't
on.
Have their own sugar. They took taken the sugar from someplace else.
Well, okay, you're making this way more complicated than
am I?
Yes. There's a sugar daddy and a sugar baby. The sugar baby is the one that gets to spend the money.
Sugar
are we
is
having
money.
Our first fight right now?
No. But I think your sugar is money. So if yes. you put sugar in the title, then that means the baby. Like, I call you sugar puppy sometimes when you pay for dinner.
Yeah. So in this case, you are the sugar baby. I am spending money on you. Have I just blown your mind? You're the sugar baby.
This isn't...
We are putting you in diapers. So ABDL.
You have to make the word mean the same thing. You can't make it mean two different things for two different titles.
I didn't realize this was such a complicated topic. You know how there's a handler and a puppy?
Yes.
The handler is the top. The puppy is the bottom in our case, right?
Yes.
So if the sugar daddy is the top... The sugar baby is?
The one with the money?
No. Oh my God. I didn't realize sugar babies were such a difficult concept, but I guess they are. So the sugar baby is the one who's having the money spent on them or is spending the money as like the...
Shouldn't that be just like a sugar sucker?
You can call it whatever you want. Anyway, the question, I was just trying to get you to figure out what sugar babies was and it didn't happen. But sugar babies... What are your thoughts on them?
Well, now I'm completely confused.
Oh, great. my thoughts, so long as it's being done consensually, that the daddy or the person that is spending the sugar is not being taken advantage of. And also, they say, and what's your like opinion on that it's not sex work? Sex doesn't have to be involved necessarily. And not all kinks are sexual.
Why would that be sex work?
Some people would consider it sex work and some people won't. That's the question. Is
the sugar daddy is sex work?
I think I've given you too much sugar, quite honestly.
It's very possible.
You're on a sugar high right now, and you're not even high.
I'm confused. I'm so confused. Why is this so confusing?
Jesus Christ. Let's see. Let's do one last question here before we totally get off topic.
Yeah, I think we've already done that.
Gotten off topic or asked questions? Let's see. Let's find a good one. Daddy, buy time.
So what's a findom with a sugar baby? So if the findom...
Oh my God, I said buy time, not confuse people.
Could get the sugar back from... So like the sugar baby could get the money from the sugar daddy and then the findom can charge the sugar baby. So you get the money back and then you can give it back to the sugar daddy.
Okay, found a question from Susie. Some people in the community can be very rigid about their roles and titles. That being said, has Chris ever gotten hassled for being a daddy who subs and bottoms? And has Amp gotten hassled when he is the most amazing top because he's the best top? Hashtag I'm a top. Definitely didn't add all of that lovely complimentary.
You didn't embellish that
question. No, did not at all. Have you ever dealt with this?
Actually, I have never gotten hassled for it. I've
got shamed.
I've never been shamed for it. Not that I've seen.
Okay.
Maybe online somewhere. I don't know. I don't pay much attention to that. But I confuse a lot of people.
Okay.
I remember
counts.
Being at a sex boot camp and my sub... I was doming him one day, and then the next day he was doming me, and his old card dom came up, and he's like, I don't understand your dynamics. I'm so confused. Who's the top? I was like, sorry to confuse you. We like doming equally, so we trade off.
Interesting. I think I just get a lot of people that are like, you're not a real top, and I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, if I top you, I had a scene once where, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but where I was in chastity, but the other guy I was working with was tied up, and I was playing with him, and because for whatever reason, he was the one that's dick was not in chastity, he was like, well, you can't be a top because I'm the top. And I was like, well, not if I use you consensually, like... And I'm in control of the scene, that would then make me the top. And his masculinity, goddamn, was so fragile that he was like, well, you're not the top. I'm topping. I'm a top. And I'm like...
I actually enjoy it. Like, when we used to have a boy, and when I'd play with the boy, then you would enter and you would start tying him up and doming him, which was great because it took off some of the workload off of me. So
you're welcome.
I liked it.
Well, yeah.
And the other thing is, I think, you know, and this is not always the case, but I start making mental notes of what, if I'm playing with a good dom or a new dom, of what they do, and I will make a mental note of how that made me feel. And sometimes I'm like, oh my god, that's brilliant, I need to start doing that. So I'm constantly taking notes and learning when I sub. And it makes me a better dom.
And so if someone ever gives you flack for being stereotypically out of like your top or bottom zone, like, just let them know you're just trying to get the full picture. You're just trying to be a better top and or bottom by seeing the other perspective. I think that's super helpful. And I mean, I would not want to be topped by someone who's not bottomed before, because they don't know what I would be going through as a bottom. They don't know what I'm going through if it's some other kink. And I'm also not going to trust someone with like a whip or a flogger or some sort of varsity level play who doesn't know how it feels.
Yeah, and then you learn what not to do too sometimes when you're subbing. Like if someone leaves a ball gag in for too long, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that to somebody else, because totally. That was horrible. Hated that.
And so even if I'm in chastity, if I have you tied down gagging and whimpering to get off, who's really in control there? Daddy?
The sugar baby?
No! I'm gonna tie you down and just feed you sugar, and we'll see who the sugar baby is.
Isn't that like, wasn't there a song, The Sugar Shark or something? Da, 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 that you made me listen to?
You mean Daddy Shark?
Daddy Shark. There was, never mind.
Daddy Shark.
Yeah.
Just placating me now?
Pretty much, yeah.
Careful.
Story of my life.
Speaking of sharks, wow, this got fishy. We are out of time, Daddy.
Oh my god, did we get through all 47 questions?
No, we got through most questions, okay. And there was a lot of doubles. There was a lot of repeat questions as far as like your favorite porn scene and your favorite aftercare, and like your favorite kinks or kinks you want to try. So, if you want to be able to ask questions next time, maybe consider joining our Patreon. And if you enjoy this, we'll do these every so often. If you guys like this kind of interactive question answer sort of thing where we share a little bit more about ourselves.
I like it. I really enjoy answering those.
Oh, me too. I don't have to prep an episode. We get to just kind of go off the cuffs. Even if you're in cuffs, I need to put you in cuffs more, apparently.
What?
What?
How did you get
here,
that?
Here, have some sugar. This? No. Here's some sugar. Do you want some sugar? Yum.
I am not being a sugar baby for you. Oh, maybe I will be a sugar baby because they get the sugar.
Okay, you are flipping so much here. I get you're versatile, but you can't go from top to bottom to top to bottom to top.
Wait, can a sugar... Wait, can...
Oh, no. He's about to go into...
sugar baby? So, if you're the
sugar verse,
so if you're the sugar puppy with the sugar, I'm the sugar daddy taking it.
You're more of a Splendid daddy. All of the taste of real sugar, but I pay for you sometimes.
Oh, you pay? Yes, you do.
No, I'm aware. I know. I'm agreeing with you. I know I do.
I'm agreeing with you too. We're saying the same thing.
No, we're not. We're totally. I don't even know what you're saying anymore with the sugar. And the... Anyway, if you would like a diet version of this podcast format, we have a YouTube channel that has videos. And
you can see what we look like.
Yeah, and there won't be any sugar involved. But, you know, I don't want any more sugar after this episode. Where can they find you, Daddy?
You know what's so ironic is our song is sugar.
What? Oh, our song. Our song.
My song is Sugar from...
By Maroon 5.
From Maroon 5.
Can you give us a snippet of that song, please?
Oh, Jesus.
Do you not know how our song goes? Are we about to have an actual fight?
I'm a singer, so it's not going to be good.
No one's judging you. They want to hear your song.
I want to say the lyrics, but Pour Some Sugar on Me is going through my head. Now. I'm just almost saying that, so I'm very confused. I'm on a sugar rush right now. So, anyway, what are you asking?
I would like you to sing Sugar by Maroon 5.
Oh, I can't.
Nice try, though. The first line is sugar.
I need it now.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Sugar!
There we go.
Yes, please.
just going to say that over and over again?
Yes, please.
Okay. And with that,
I need it now.
I need to close this off now. Where can they find you, Daddy?
You can find me on Twitter, Christopher Weston, or my Just for Fans page.
Don't plug your Just for Fans on our podcast.
You asked me where you could find me. That's where I am.
Well, we can't link it, but you can always find him on Just for Fans.
Yeah.
You can find me at pup_amp on most things, and you can find our YouTube channel at What's the Safe Word on YouTube. This has been What's Your Safe Word. Daddy, go ahead and sing us out.
Sugar! Yes, please!
Jesus Christ. We'll see you guys next time. Bye!
Bye!
Thank you, patrons. You're the best. We love you. We couldn't do this without you. Go ask us more questions.
Yes, please.